is caught by Boquist, and he does an inverted twist. Is he in? He is. Touchdown, Bo Boquist, and that could be your dagger.
Simon Rumphaugh has it. Simon inside the five. Sis boom ball. Simon Rumphaugh, his second touchdown today.
UND Football 360.
Isaiah trying to get outside, a stiff arm, shuts him down, 20, inside the 15, down to the 13-yard line. Oh, that right arm, that stiff arm, and the book of Isaiah has given North Dakota a first down.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast. With your hosts, Kelly Howe, Matt Nelson, and Dave McNamara.
Well, bounce back was the key word we used last week. What was our UND football team going to do after a big win over Montana? And I think the answers were answered pretty quickly in the first quarter. We found out UND was not going to have any problems against Idaho last Saturday and pick up the win. And took care of business, fellas, and exactly what we wanted to see.
We don't have letdowns in Grand Forks.
Right, yeah.
That's what I put in the write-up. We don't have no letdowns in El Grande Forco, right? Just keep rolling. No, they were
Grande Le Fork.
Yeah, they were good. Masterful right off the kickoff. I mean, it was pretty good. 38-0 first half. And we're worried, but I think, you know, we'll get into the game review, but the Idaho State thing, I think we'll put that to bed. I mean, being worried about playing them. I mean, I think they're kind of figuring out how to handle them now after we just have PTSD from 2015
is the
only problem because we missed the playoffs that year. But no, we'll move on from that. Great performance. Just fun. 10,500 again in attendance, and crowd did their job. Everything went well. No letdowns, guys.
It's a fun week for the fans, especially with Potato Bowl week. Tradition been going on in Grand Forks. But is the Potato Bowl mean anything to you guys as players as you're getting ready for the week?
Free French fries on, Thursday night,
yeah,
I
Thursday
think.
Night.
And, you know, participate in that, I think, and sign some autographs. And it's fun, though, because especially if those freshman guys coming in, they kind of understand during Potato Bowl what UND football is all about. You know, the fans are into it. It's a precursor to homecoming to look forward to. I always enjoyed Potato Bowl, and we haven't lost since 1986, so it was always a fun game to be a part of.
Well, it changes up the week, too.
I don't know,
it's just not your normal 3 days of practice, you know, typical, just get kind of boring, you know, getting dark out type of thing. It's not that. It's a fun week. It's a festive week. The community loves it. Grand Forks loves the Potato Bowl week. I mean, they have so many activities. There's probably 20, 30 activities all throughout the week going on all around town, little ones. And then it culminates, you know, with the game and the parade. They love the parade. Parade's always fun. I used to go to it all the time. But, it's just different. It's special. I'm glad they do it, because it kind of kicks off the season a little bit for Grand Forks, you know, and the fan base. Then you get a homecoming coming up after that. That's middle of the year. And then at the end of the year, you're hoping the games just kind of take care of themselves, where the last game means something. We got to win it. So it's big on its own.
Back in the old days, it always used to be the Bison game, last game of the year. So,
right.
Yeah, it kind of worked its way out. I don't encourage doing it anymore, but do you remember going to games as a kid when a few of the fans would chuck some potatoes out on the field? We'd always sit behind the visitors over on the east side bleachers at Memorial, and yeah, a couple fans would always sneak a potato or two into the game. Yeah, those were the fun days.
Yeah, yep.
Snowballs in the playoff games. Yeah, we saw it all. But kind of a cool thing, you know, talking about Old Memorial, you talk about how different that looks now at the stadium, but the parking lot across the street is unbelievable. There's the second phase of the Hislop project going on across the street. I can't remember what all the names are, but I have a young softball player at my house, and I showed the video of the president and the softball coach showing off their new digs. That is quite the facility they have right across from the indoor facility.
Unbelievable softball field. I mean, just beautiful, vibrant, the greens and blacks and whites, and the way the color schemes are, and then that what do they call that deck up
the
there?
The party deck.
Yeah, party deck up yeah. there.
Viewing deck, but
well,
I think
and how
it's
about the
be...
heated dugouts?
That's going to be awesome.
Kind of like it's the if you go to Sweet Shots, you know, and it's heated in there, so you can be golfing all winter. It's that you can see the heaters lined up, pointed down in there, so. We know what's going to happen, you know, come October.
Yeah, it is Grand Forks, right?
But, well, I think I mean, they said 40 degrees and they can be out on that field.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah.
In the spring where they've
well, that
had issues every year.
Done, that program and baseball had nothing. I mean, they had nothing. I felt bad for baseball all those years. They did more with less than probably any program on campus. They'd win games, and they had nothing over at Kraft Field. And the softball field, same thing, right next to it at Apollo – three or something, they took over. And then they just tried to dress up a pig. You know,
yeah.
But they tried, you know, but there was just nothing there to recruit to. Well, look at this is second to none. I mean, like the coach said, the spaciousness of the dugouts is unbelievable. Huge dugouts. I mean, from front to back, left, the seating. I mean, they did it correct.
And I believe it's the Albrecht family, but yep. What a recruit for the softball coach to get yeah. a family and a stadium, all a player and a stadium all in one recruiting trip. That's not bad. So yeah. Congratulations to the UND softball team, a long time coming. And I think it's going to be cool, guys, in the spring if students are out around campus to hit that party deck on a sunny day, you know, those nice April days. I think that's going to be a lot of fun for some of the students.
Oh, for sure, as long as they – I would assume they can go drink up there. I don't know, and bring their own. Because it's on campus. I don't know if that's...
Is it on campus?
I don't know. You guys
campus.
Never had a beer on campus, did you?
Never. Yeah. No, I don't even know what that's like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's what I was thinking.
Student-athletes? No.
At Kraft back in the day, when UND baseball is playing, you know, there'd be nice days. We'd get done with football, spring ball on a Saturday or whatever, and we'd go... you know, over with our coolers and just stand along the fence and you could just drink. I mean, kids were lined up along the fences, just watching the baseball game, having a beer at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was great. So I don't know if they can recreate that because it's on campus, but if they can, that party deck up there is going to be a hell of a time.
I
want to
go.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
It's kind of like that Budweiser rooftop deck at Target Field, but on a much smaller level. Going to be cool though. Very excited to see what happens with UND softball in the future. Well, let's talk about our sponsors here, Rumors Sports Bar, Grill and Casino. We couldn't do it without the folks over there. They have been a longtime staple in Grand Forks. If you're heading up before or after a game, make sure you head over to Rumors Sports Bar, Grill and Casino. Development Homes, Inc. They have the gaming, simulcast, horse racing, pull tabs, blackjack, and... our favorite here at the 360 podcast, the pig wheel. Always go on number 11. That's a good number. Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance, the Toasted Frog, Fine Dining in downtown Grand Forks and Fargo, the 1883 Collective, NIL Arm for UND Athletics, Interstate Industrial, Steam Cleaning and Painting in the Bakken Oil Fields, Marty Shade, longtime UND football supporter, and American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. Also want to thank our friends here at KFGO for allowing us to use the studio space, and also one of their employees today, Jack Michaels, going to be our guest coming up later on the podcast, the voice of Fighting Hawks football. Well, let's get into that game review, courtesy of the Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance. Well, guys, I'm not going to lie. I was a little surprised at halftime in a good way, in a very good way. I didn't see that first half coming on Saturday.
I didn't either, to be honest. I thought we might be a little sluggish, and you know, I was worried about that letdown that we'd have after a big win, but that didn't happen. But it also a tale of two halves again a little bit this week where things kind of changed in the locker room, and they came out and tried to win the football game, and that's what you want in the contest, too.
Both phases were on point in the first half. I mean, it was complimentary football. That's when you're a head coach, when you're Bubba Schweiger, you're seeing the defense setting up the offense punching it in, then the crowd getting energized. I mean, then you're just feeling it. I mean, you're on the sideline, smile ear to ear because you're not worried about either side. Things are meshing, they're flowing, whatever word you want to use with UND football right now. And it's fun to watch. We all go off past history, so we're all worried about this, and then we're confident this week, but but then we're not confident this week. And so this is 3 weeks in a row of sound football. They fell behind at Montana, but they fell behind because Montana made some plays. And they got us on two big plays.
They're a good team.
Yeah. And they're you know, they're really good. So, but they came back and won. This week was complete opposite. We jumped on them. And 38-0 we're up. Okay, when you get up 38-0 on a team, you're doing something right. You were prepared well by your coaching staff. You were mentally prepared. The fans were excited. They were locked in. Speaking of fans, Devin Hembry, 92-yard interception return for touchdown. It was only 7-0 at the time, so that was a huge play. And they were driving in. That was deep in our end zone, so 92 yards he went for it. I posted the clip on Twitter.
Wow.
But did you hear the level in the decibel level go up when they saw him, when it hit his hands and he took those first two steps? Oh my God, you guys, I don't think I've ever heard anything like that on a camera feed before.
That was amazing. It was almost deafening on your phone listening to it. And God, that's got to be a great feeling. To hear that and seeing all that green in front of you.
Fans love interceptions. They love it. And there's something about it. Whenever, I mean, because it only happens, you know, the team will get 12, they'll get 15 a year, whatever. You know, good year, we got 19, I think, that 1 year with Deion Harris, and then when we picked off all his passes. But there's only so many. So when you get them, and the crowd just goes crazy, and they erupt, and then they go crazy when they see all green in front of the guy, and he's racing in for a touchdown.
Yeah, when was the last time we actually had a legit pick six? It's been a few years.
Oh boy,
I'm dusting off some cobwebs. I don't know. It's been a while.
I'm thinking a linebacker. Maybe a linebacker might have got one in the last 3 or 4 years, but. Reyes got the one.
I was just going to bring up Cole Reyes. Maybe Cole Reyes stays in his stint here. Yeah. But it's been a long time since we actually had a pick six and then to go 93 yards to get one. Just a testament to the preparation of our defense. And, you know, it looked like we had that play stuffed, too, on multiple different levels. Besides Devin having the interception on that play, where our linebackers were in good position. Everything was in good position. It just... To what you said, Kelly, our preparation on defense seems to have taken the next step. And whatever we're doing, whatever they're doing in the locker room and the game room and film, whatever it takes, it's certainly playing out in the field really well.
They're coming out with good game plans. This week, I think we talked about it last week. When the team doesn't have a tight end, they're not going to hold on to it very long. You know, they're going to get it out quick. And Idaho State did get it out quick, but they tried for some deep crossers. They hit some deep crossers. So we started bringing a little bit more pressure. You know, we brought a fifth guy is what we'd do inside Pedigo maybe, or McNeil would come. But what they're finding is we're getting there with four. And we said it on the show last week. If you're getting home with four, it's over. I mean, it's game over. So we were getting home with Rucker off the edge, Navratil off the edge. Riley Gerhart comes in, the transfer from Valley City. He starts getting in there off the edge, and now we're having seven in coverage, bracketing. So the inside backers are getting some depth walling from the inside, and it's all working together. We got four DBs bracketing. That interception with Hembry was they actually ran a corner, inside guy ran a corner route behind Hembry. So Hembry was halfway in between these guys, so I think it was a quick out route and then a corner behind him. So Hembry technically has the deep corner. So he was halfway in between, like a good corner will be. He could play them both, read the quarterback. Soon as that ball was up, breaks forward then. He could have got to either one of those passes. That tells me Devin Hembry's getting it. You know, he's a veteran. He played JUCO ball before he came here. That tells me the evolution starting to kick in.
How hard is it to catch that ball when you get a jump on it and you see that green and you know it's probably six?
That's a hard ball to catch because it's too easy.
Yeah.
It's coming at you. It's like, is it this easy? Did he really throw that ball?
Yeah.
I mean, your
hands
are like
shaking.
Is this
happening right now? Yeah.
Because you want it to be just instinctively, bam, or up here or down here. But right in front
to the chest,
that's tough. That's a good point.
In the moment, yeah. Because you see so many that are dropped, right? It's almost 50-50, isn't it? Those easy ones where it's like...
That's when they drop.
Oh, where the whole crowd goes, oh!
Yeah, but and then let's bring up Hembree had a big game. Our guy Lance Rucker.
Yeah.
Off the edge. I mean, we talked about him.
You've been talking about him all fall camp that you couldn't wait to see this guy bloom.
Well, he looks different. And we're hearing, you know, he's getting it now. He's a freshman last year, true freshman. He didn't know, you know, he didn't even know where to line up. So you played outside backer, Matt. I mean, he didn't know.
It's a complicated position.
Yeah. So he had
a lot more to it.
Where did you feel like you could go out and play in this defense? Was it by sophomore year where you could just go play?
Yeah,
right?
Sophomore year for sure. And then I actually felt comfortable where I could go out and have the confidence and just run the play. You make the right call. And at that time, we were a check defense. And so you had to know every formation, everything. And it takes you 2 years, really. It does. To actually understand what the secondary is doing. You got to know what they're doing. You got to know what your defensive linemen are doing at all times. It's a really difficult position. And you got to drop back in coverage. You got to take on the
you got to communicate
tackle.
With signs because the crowd should be yelling at that
right,
time.
Yeah, and if you're at home,
right? Yeah.
Hopefully it's deafening. Where I remember guys standing right next to me yelling at me. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even hear what they were saying, and they were like 6 inches away from me trying to get the call.
That's great,
call
isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what we want in the Lara Center.
Yeah, and remember Rucker got the interception, too, when they called Pettigo for roughing the passer. He dove in the flat. Pettigo hit him, so the ball fluttered out to the flat. That was Rucker out there that dove, picked it off the turf, 6 inches off the turf, and got the interception, but they made a terrible call in the roughing the passer. So he's active. I mean, he is active off the edge. And, like, that's what every defense coach is just waiting for, you know, is to put these guys in position and say, oh, my God, we got guys making. Okay, now I don't need to do this. I don't need to do this. I'll just turn him loose and hope he beats them more times, you know, than not. You know, we're going to get something happen.
When you see UND's defense playing with high energy and confidence, I don't think there's a more fun defense to watch, right? I mean,
Seems like there's 12 or 13 guys on the field because they're moving, they're twisting up front. So teams think UND actually didn't bring much pressure in this one at all. They lined up with their down four because they're four wide receivers. So we went to a four-man look instead of our three. So we were in basically a 4-2-5, you know, for that type of situation. And like I said, randomly, you know, a few times he brought Wyatt Pettigo or McNeil. That was it. It was a four-man, seven-man bracket downfield, and it worked. I mean, we knocked Kobe Tracy out of the game. He was 6 for 18. The windows weren't there. They hit a couple crossers deep across the middle, which I think our safeties would like to get those back. There was no reason. They were too deep. You know, when you look at the play, two stayed shallow, so you turn your direction to one. Well, here comes one right in front of your face. They should have been jumping those a little quicker, but they're young. You know, they're worried. They're back. Stay back. Right. Offense is playing good.
Don't get burned.
Stay back. Okay, we're young. We're going to do the safe thing. Older safety probably would have jumped those, smacked them, broke it up, picked it off, something like that, which they'll get there. You know, these kids.
Five and a half weeks ago at this time, we didn't know who would be the starting quarterback for UND football. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe, but wasn't that long ago. Simon Rumpfo, after 3 weeks, guys, what are your thoughts?
He's playing well. I think there's, as the evolution goes for Simon throughout this season, I think we're going to continue to see those little steps where he becomes more seasoned, more veteran quarterback in that position and our true starter in that position. But it really seems that he has the confidence of all the guys around him. He's a leader out there. That is the most impressive thing to see, that everybody on offense is really firing on all cylinders and they're playing as one unit out there. And that's, I think, a testament to Simon, his presence in the huddle, in the locker room, his leadership. I'm impressed with that so far.
Yeah, he's only started three games. So he went from, you know, struggling throwing technically at Iowa State because they didn't try much. But Montana was a hit and miss deal, but he won the game. He didn't win the game, but he was an integral part of it.
He did his part.
And then now this last game, he threw for 287 yards. So it didn't seem like that. I was shocked at the end when I saw the box score. I'm like, huh. You know, I know he hit a few downfield to Bo, but they started to add up. And was it, did I get that right, 287?
Yeah, spot on.
287, yeah.
Two touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah, and
so, longest for 56.
What was his average?
25 for 38.
25-38, 287, so 38, let's call it 7, 8. 8 yards, you go by the attempt, so 8 yards an attempt. That's downfield. That's not short. 8 yards attempt, that's more than Justin Herbert. You know, I know, because everybody calls him rocket arm, just big cannon, and he throws about 5 yards a pass. You know, it drives me crazy. But I'm sure he does have a good arm. He just never uses it, but... it's about 8 yards a pop.
Yep.
And so they were trying things downfield because Idaho State was moving. I mean, they were walking. They were in that 3-3-5 we talked about, but it didn't stay a 3-3-5 very long. I mean, it was turning into a 4-3 type of a thing after a while, walking a guy up, or they had their 3 linemen, and there were 4 linebackers right behind them. I mean, it was getting a little ridiculous to the point where Simon did have to, he did have to make those throws, and he did. Did he bounce a couple? Yes. No excuses. Yeah, he bounced them. I don't know what happened.
They were bad misses, right?
Yeah, bad misses. It happens. But he was 25 for 38.
Mm-hmm.
In game number 3.
Right.
In
game 3.
A game where we all knew we should win this one.
Right. Yep.
But it was like, okay, what team is going to come out, right? There was a lot of question marks coming in.
He didn't scramble much in this.
No, he didn't, but I think it's rightfully so, too. Like, these are some of the question marks that we've had from the past, and, that's what we as commentators have to go on. Like, what has our team done in the past? And it looks like we're slaying some of those demons that have kind of caught up to us from years gone by.
He's going to keep getting different looks. But here's what he can do, though. Run the ball. Scramble. 1-2, gone. That type of thing. It has to be that way for him because he's going to start seeing more movement up front, and teams are going to bring exotic looks after him, knowing the passing game isn't, high-level elite or anything, but it's dangerous enough. But they're going to start getting after him. There's going to start being guys up front. He has to keep looking for those opportunities to move the chains himself.
I've always said a quarterback's best friend is a good running game. And, we have that. Let's talk about these running backs because they are getting room to run, but they are also, looks to me, being patient and really letting the play develop before they take off.
Well, I love this statistic because we had 4 rushing touchdowns from 4 different running backs. What does that tell you right off the bat?
Yeah.
That we have confidence in multiple guys who can run the pigskin for us. And and it's nice to see Sawyer Seidel at the top of the list this week, where we're not dependent on one guy. So many teams fall into this trap where, our running back has to rush for 150 yards or we lose the game. We're not in that position. We have 4 guys that can carry the ball and have confidence in and move the chains down the field. So I think our running game is really gone to the next level, and there's the statistics to prove it.
And how tough is that? Has Frickte talked about that, of getting everyone the ball? I mean, when you got that much talent, I was thinking about that on Saturday of, geez, how do you distribute the carries with these guys?
Well, in the era of the portal, too. So,
you got to keep them all happy.
Yeah, you got to keep kids happy. And I don't know. He's obviously doing it because he's rotating them and he's got them to buy in off the field. Okay, in the meeting
and
rooms,
I like
you
it.
You got to get these kids to buy in. Hey, Gavin Zeebarth could run 20 times a game easy in his sleep. He's going to get dinged up by
week 8. To tackle him 20 times in a game as a defender. Like, nope, you got this one.
But we can keep him fresh, for late in the game. He's the hammer late in the game type of thing. Isaiah Smith's just a jack of all trades. They run him on everything. And then Sawyer Seidel, we saw how electric he can be. And, they just, as long as these kids buy in, as long as they understand, hey, yep, you're right. There's 3 of us, and now Donovan Hunt obviously has breakaway speed. So there's 4 of us that can play. We all know it, guys. Let's do the best we can. Let's just win the game, okay? One of us, it's Sawyer Seidel this week. It's Gavin Zeebarth more than likely is going to always be 1 or 2 every week because he's earned it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the war horse on the inside, that type of thing. But, it's just 155 yards rushing this week. That's okay. 38 rushes, 155 yards. It probably wasn't going to get higher than that unless we broke a long one because of the way Idaho State was playing. So what did we have? 442 yards of total offense.
Good. I'll take that.
Well, we had short fields too. A couple short fields. because of turnovers that the defense gave them. So you're not, the yardage isn't going to be, you know, we're not always starting at our own 20 or anything. So it was just I mean, I'm looking up third down conversions is one thing I circled. I'd kind of like to see a little 5 for 13. That's not going to do it, you know, once we get
which has been pretty good the previous two weeks.
Yep. So one thing, hey, teaching point. All right, we got to be better on third down, guys. We got to execute, whether it's running the route, you know, getting to the sticks, whether it's calling the right play, you know, like we mentioned before, third and eight, sometimes they run the ball. Third and four, geez, that's where it's tough. If the guy teams are going to load the box, Simon's got to hit the pad. They got to connect.
Right.
Third and four. So.
The two biggest question marks this season were quarterback and offensive line. And who would you say has the higher grade night right now? Because both have answered the bell pretty well this fall.
O-line.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, just for two different reasons. They've really come together as a unit. That was the biggest question mark. We knew we were going to be okay with quarterback, regardless of who was going to be in there. We just didn't know who it was going to be. The biggest question was the O-line, where we didn't know how this, what kind of team we were going to have and how these guys were going to work together. And I would say that not only the most, I don't want to say most improved, but the biggest welcome surprise that we got in our own line, because they have really stepped up to the challenge.
Yeah, I think the O-line play has been good. You know, I've asked, I'm not a O-line aficionado, never have been, but I enjoy analyzing.
You're not smart enough to be an O-lineman, right?
No, not at all. No, those guys, I don't understand what they're doing up there, but I like watching it, and I've kind of taken over the years, I've started to understand the importance of it, and they're just doing a good job with Trevor Olsen's schemes. You know, we've talked about it. He's very good with coming up with you notice Mason South is in the game a lot, number 44, fullback. Mm-hmm. They're using a lot of fullback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a good player, and he hasn't played before this year much, you know, and so Jaden Norby, tight end, Quincy Vaughn, you know, so they're using the tight ends and fullbacks, but they use them the last few years, kind of a new wave way where these coaches come up with these schemes of inserting them, they call it, or whatever, where you'll see them line up off the wing and then they come running up through the A gap and they're an extra gap, extra blocker up in the A, or they kick out in the A. And I think, Tank, you mentioned patience. I think the patience is needed and required for these types of blocking schemes, where they knew with Montana they were going to be twisting all over up front. You got to have patience. But with these things, they have to set themselves up, so to speak, when you're bringing it, when you're bringing guys across, wham, blocking, inserting, whatever you want to call it. So Gavin Zeebarth, you'll see him catch it and kind of pitter-patter, pitter-patter, boom. Then he goes. He's waiting because I don't think he knows where the hole's going to be. Yeah, and so
that's not easy to teach a kid.
No.
Patience when you hand him the ball, right, in football?
Comes from experience, and there's only one way to get that. It's just playing.
Yeah, they're doing a good job with this offense, and it'll just be a continued. I mean, I always look ahead. You know, geez, somebody's gonna do something to him. Well, yeah, somebody's gonna. You know, there's gonna be a D coordinator coming up here. That's pretty good, and he'll see something, and he'll come up with it, and then it'll just be on Trevor Olsen and Isaac Frickte mid game. You know, second quarter, whatever, to come up with ever so slight little tweak up front, get rid of this blocking scheme, this little duo, whatever you want to call it. That's how it's not working. We're going back to this, and this. And they'll tell the O-line, and then you just move forward.
How about passing-wise up front? Where do we need to work on our pass blocking right now?
It seems like it's been okay. He didn't last week seem good. I don't think he got pressured a ton. I think we're going to be facing much better pass rushers coming. This week, number zero. We'll get into that. He's a good player. But yeah, I think it's okay for now, but we're going to start seeing some things where, you know, we kept seeing these three-man fronts. We're seeing another one coming up this week, but we keep seeing – now we're going to be seeing four-man fronts where they'll bring a little pressure, you know, something off the edge. That's when the key will be where whether our tackle can now kick out and pick up that outside backer one-on-one who's coming flying off the edge, and everyone slides down, you know, to get their guy and doesn't get beat because now we're spread out. Mm-hmm. We're not double teaming anything anymore. And so it's just an evolution. You know, it's just like we said, every week I think we're going to show up here and we're going to be like, okay, you know,
that looked all right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, okay.
Hey, we can do that.
We passed another test. Nobody knows. We don't know, but we're starting to know.
Yeah,
but,
like, getting an idea.
I don't think we had one kick out of bounds this week, right?
No.
So there we go.
There was a hell of a lot of kickoffs this week.
Yeah.
No, the kickoff coverage was good. We gave up one long, but that one didn't matter at that point. But, yeah, it was good. In summary, you know, I put my write-up. I know we gave up 28 eventually by the time the game was over, but it was 38-0. I don't care. You know, yeah, great. I know we shouldn't have gave up touchdowns, but as soon as we needed one there, I don't know when it was 38-21 or 38-17. I can't remember what it became. 38-14. We went down and scored, you know, and make it 45, whatever. You know, we always kept it at 24, it seemed like. So, yeah. I mean, we can nitpick, but let's be happy we're up 38-0.
Right.
All right.
That's a great point.
You mean, when we played, my mentality changed. We were up 38-0. I was on cruise control. I mean, I wasn't I wasn't looking for any big plays.
You knew what? You were making plans for 9 o'clock that night,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was. Yeah. Yes, I knew.
You were the social director of your team, were you?
I was up there. I was the director, but I was out a lot. I know that.
How much is going too far in those situations as a coach? Because you don't want to pile it on, right? That's got to be the hardest thing to do.
Right.
Defense is defense. You want to keep them out of the end zone, but you also don't want to get burned for a 60, 70-yarder in that part of the game,
back.
Right?
They were sitting back. I'm sure the pass rush wasn't as urgent, mentally just as urgent, you know.
We probably just went back to a, you know, no schemes or anything, just more of a check defense, you know, base defense. We probably did that, you know, in that third quarter where they started taking advantage of that a little bit and started getting more yards on us, where we had guys that were having to make reads rather than, no, this is the play and you go.
Probably some guys, I didn't even look at the end, but probably some guys playing their first college football ever in that fourth quarter as well, right?
Cole Davis was back at safety, and he was going to play all year, but he was hurt, so he was in at safety. And yeah, they got, I mean, you're looking at it. Yeah, there's a lot
of
names on
there. That's the nice thing about the big games is the big wins is you get guys in there that maybe aren't going to see the field much and get them a little experience.
When you look at the stats here, you got Payne Parks from Red River. He got in the game. Where was that? Tegan Peffer. He got in there. Logan Doyle, John Butch at outside backer, Hayden Steck at linebacker. A lot of linebackers got in the game, which is good. We need to develop the depth. And that's what I always, when you played as a player, you always wanted to be a part of the starters wanted to get a blowout so you could just sit out.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to play four quarters.
Feels good to sit there,
just
right?
Sit there and relax and know you only had to play three and a half quarters. You called it good. You just can relax, you know, cheer on your teammates and just be in the moment, you know, enjoying it a little bit. You know, you don't need to be in a meat grinder 11 weeks a year.
Yeah.
Because that's when it wears you down mentally. It's like, so these blowouts are
2003,
crucial.
Right?
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
My heart's still not right for that year.
Sorry about that.
Oh, well, it was a fun one on Saturday. We can put it to bed. That's our Kelly Howe Agency game review, Nodak Insurance. Well, let's take a trip around the Missouri Valley. Well, I didn't catch a lot of football on Saturday, but I did catch the end. We almost saw an upset in the Valley and around the country on Saturday. NDSU, I think, very happy to come away with a win.
Yeah, that was...
I don't think anyone saw that close of a game coming.
Yeah, East Tennessee State, they were an impressive team. I think they only complete six passes or something all game, but they ran all over NDSU, 270 yards, and they had a good game plan. There's a thing, I mean, we've said it before, and we'll say it again. You don't drop back. You run straight ahead. You throw it in space, try to make them tackle in space, and you throw quick. Every throw has to be quick, and you run straight ahead. And that's what their game plan was. It was QB run up the middle, throwing it quick. They're throwing quick fades down the sideline, that type of thing. They had a good game plan. And they just, you know, coughed it up at the end with that onside kick. You know, that didn't help because, you know, these days onside kicks, they've made them almost impossible to get unless you screw it up. Well, East Tennessee State
they screwed
guy
it up,
had a tennis racket on his chest. And boom! I mean,
like playing Wii tennis.
It's like Billy Madison when he goes in the in the ball cage.
Yeah.
Just happy only 365 yeah. more days to the next season.
And then South Dakota State, they played Augie this weekend. Was it this weekend?
Yeah, Augie Doggies.
Not a real big blowout there in South Dakota.
It was, I'm pulling it up right now.
Must have been an ugly game, huh?
24-3, it was a snoozer, I think. Yeah, it was, 17-3 at half.
Whiny Heine still coaching down there?
Augie's a good program, a good D2 program, but South Dakota State, they're in an adjustment period. I think people overlook the fact that they lost six All-Americans or whatever on offense, and you know all of them went to the NFL. I think they kind of overlooked that fact.
Trying to find their identity right now.
Yeah, they don't. It's not as easy, you know, as it was last year, and they're not scoring the points at all. The defense is good. I don't think defense is, you know, as good as it was last year because they lost guys there too, but it's good. I mean, it's top five in the country probably. So I think they're playing some complimentary ball a little bit right now, saying, all right, let's work through some things, but make sure we're winning games and just take it easy on offense. But yeah, it was interesting. 24-3. Oof. Okay. You expect a little more, but Augie, you know, I'm sure Augie was up for it.
You know, do you know what Augie got for that game?
No, I wouldn't. Well, I mean, I'm guessing 200 to 250.
I thought it was pretty cool they played them.
Yeah, because, they ran when they run out of opponents.
They're only 40 miles away from one another.
Yeah, and then the Coyotes open with Northern State?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing their part in their school, but.
Yeah. Yeah, usually it's who was it? I think Morehead State got 250 to fly into Missoula. Morehead from Kentucky.
East Grand Forks Tech, do they have a football team? Is this something we could maybe do?
Oh, we used to play
Crookston, I guess.
Back in the day.
The closest thing, but I don't think anyone wants to see that again, right?
Give them their check every year.
But yeah, that was not good at all. I don't think anyone benefited anything from that game.
Yeah,
it wasn't good. But here's the one that everyone needs to look at. Duquesne, 28. Youngstown, 25.
Oof.
Oh. Trouble in Youngstown. Mm-hmm. Jesus, you can't lose that. I mean, Duquesne is picked to win the NEC. Yeah, but they're Duquesne, and they're always good. Good, solid program, maybe the 50th best program in the country type of a thing. Youngstown, I mean, I know we talked about in the preseason, they lost their entire defense. They're 15 guys entered the portal. So they were restarting on defense, but their offense was supposed to be good. They brought back all their old linemen. They had a quarterback back, not the same one as we faced, but he had played, and there's trouble there. There's something wrong, and that was a bad loss. Now they're up against it because Missouri Valley play is coming, and you know that goes. We got to go to Youngstown, so that'll be a tough place to play just because it's different flight to get there and stuff. But yeah, I'm looking at that was one that hurt the Missouri Valley. Didn't look good at all. Indiana. Oh, did you see the Indiana State Dayton box score?
I didn't.
Indiana State wins 24-13. Okay, and a snoozer. All right. Okay. You know, whatever. Okay. Let me hit on team stats. First downs, Dayton 19, Indiana State 5.
Oh, my.
They had 5 first downs.
And one.
How does that even happen? Okay, so I'm just looking. 92 yards of offense against Dayton. Dayton had 326 yards of offense. I mean, they got completely blown out in the box score. Two turnovers were pretty much the difference. Two defensive touchdowns for Indiana State, and they end up winning the game. And, oh, my God, 5 first downs, 92 yards.
Oh, could be a good game on the schedule in the Valley this year, right?
Well, hopefully we struggled last year. Well, but do we got them this year?
I think at home later on, don't we?
Let me go look at that quick. I can't ever keep anything straight.
I think it's end of the season. But
yeah, we got to go there.
I don't look ahead, fellas. I'm a week-to-week type of guy. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's where you start getting yourself in trouble when you look too far ahead.
Why did the South Dakota game get canceled? Do we know?
South Dakota, Portland State had whooping cough.
Oh.
People exposed a whooping cough.
Mm. And like canceled it like 2 hours before kickoff. Yeah. So they're all the way out there. Yeah. And
so we haven't heard yet whether it's been declared a forfeit or a no contest, because it's obviously a big deal. There's a 12-week season now. So you got to win 8 games probably to get in.
Right.
You can't lose one of your wins. You're
expecting to get.
I'm guessing that's a no contest, isn't it? I mean,
I think South Dakota's trying to make that a forfeit, you know, so they get the win. So yeah,
especially when they're out there, it's not like you gave them 3 days' notice.
No, they paid all the money to fly out there.
Yeah,
and got nothing out of it. Yeah, that was interesting.
I don't know. It'll be interesting how it shakes out.
Fighting behind the scenes, but
it's good to see South Dakota chartering now. Remember in their early days, they were bussing.
Oh yeah,
did they bus to like Louisiana or something early on?
Save a few bones.
Like 2 day trip down there.
Stop in Graceland on the way.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing a little sightseeing out of the deal for the boys.
Yeah. A little family trip, guys.
We'll practice at Graceland. Do a walkthrough out in the front yard.
Maybe Branson, Missouri for a show or something.
Fast Eddie Meyercourt. Yeah, but hey, Missouri State, Lindenwood, 28-14. Okay. Murray State, 58-9 over Mississippi Valley. Southern Illinois beat Incarnate Word. Incarnate Word's a good team. That was a good win for Southern Illinois. Nebraska 34-3 over Northern Iowa. What happened? There is a power outage at Northern Iowa. They cannot score. They couldn't score against St. Thomas. I watched that game. I don't know what's going on, what they're running. I don't understand. Like, they pulled it out late 17-10, but St. Thomas was winning that game 90% of the time. And I know the OC, they were going to go to the air raid this spring, and I think he showed up, and then he left. He left after, in June, let's say. So then they had to get a new OC quick, and I don't know if they stayed with the air raid or went back to something else, but, oh, boy, I know we got them coming up, so I'm not going to act like, it's an easy W or anything because they always have good players, but they can't score. And they are in a world of hurt. They struggled to score. I watched them against Valpo in week one. And Valpo was not good. And they ended up putting up 35. And they struggled to get to 35 by the time the game was over. Ugh, it's, I don't know. Interesting times in the Missouri Valley. Between them and Youngstown, I would say they're the two biggest disappointments right now.
Well, hopefully they're disappointments when we play them.
Right.
Catch them in the week. Yeah.
We need those wins.
We don't want that week where it just all comes together, right?
Yeah.
those are the bad weeks. Those were those weeks you'd lose to Augie, right? You know, when you're supposed to win by three touchdowns.
Right.
We won't rehash on those old games. So
yeah.
That is a look at our review around the Missouri Valley coming up. We're going to get I'm sure we're going to have a fun time with our next guest. Jack Michaels will be in to talk a little bit about the first three games of the year. The voice of the Fighting Hawks football, Jack Michaels, is next. Moving along here on the UND Football 360 Preview Podcast. It is time now for our Development Homes 360 guest and a guy I've called a friend for a long, long time. It's the fan and KFGO sports director out of Fargo, Jack Michaels, and also the voice of UND football, Hawks, and women's basketball. How are you doing, Jack?
Hi, Tanger. I just checked. This is my 14th year as the voice of UND football, and I got to be honest with you, part of my prep is watching UND football 360. And it should be, because it's such a good program. So I'm glad to be on with you guys. And it is I got a funky feeling this year. But again, we'll see how it goes. But every year, I can go through each one of those years I've been the voice of UND football and tell you, like, ooh, got this feeling, got that feeling, got optimism, only to be shot down, or it could be. I got one of those funky feelings this year that it's that cautious, optimistic, really fun to go to work. It's fun to go to work every Saturday, but it's kind of fun when I pull up at the Alaris Center going, I wonder what today is going to bring, And that's, so for Maddie and Kelly, just and Tanker, thanks for having me on the show, man. I feel now I'm going to have to watch myself to help prep for myself.
Yeah. There you go, Jack. But thanks for joining us. We love listening. I like one of the things I like to do right after the game is catch your post game. I love that. I'd hop in the car, whether we're heading back to the house, heading to the bar, or whatever. Right. We'll catch the post game and stuff. You do a great job, summing it all up.
Well and we talked about it last week, that recap of the Montana game that the football department put together, and you hit a home run in your pregame because it meshed well with that video for the Montana game.
It's funny when I see what that digital department does, and I'm thinking, okay, what was the open I used on that? And it really was what I do that right before, literally right before we go on, and what I'm feeling for North Dakota that particular day. And going into Montana, it was a chance to springboard, and they did, up the FCS ladder, and it was a barometer. You know, with everything on the line about that whole 1986 and having lost an opener, and I'm thinking, was Corey Hart popular then?
Yeah.
Was it Your Love by the Outfield?
Sunglasses going, at
right,
night.
Right, yeah. You know, and I'm thinking, what a win that would be. And then you win that game, and then it sets up into the, of course, Idaho State, and then now here we go with San Diego. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and it's been fun. I've mentioned it many times, Jack, this year already. I'm starting to repeat myself, but I don't care because I'm excited. And there's something different. You mentioned it.
You know, right?
Yeah, it's something with energy, number one. Confidence? What's the word? They look different on
I think
the field.
Our mental toughness has gotten a little better. You know, we're able to handle adversity a little bit better. I think we're able to handle tough situations, the highs and lows. Looks like we've done a lot of mental preparation coming into this year where we're a little bit more mentally tough. We learned our lessons from last year, and it's exciting to see that next level step of we're starting to think of ourselves as national champions.
Well, and I was watching, and Kelly, your comments, and Matt and Tank, after the Iowa State game to see what your guys' thoughts were after the game. Were they the same as mine when I was driving? At that time, I was still doing Red Hawks and UND, so I was actually driving from Ames to, like, Geneva, Illinois. But I was watching your comments on that, and I kept nodding, going, yep, 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 because you had questions. We had questions about the offensive line. We had questions about how were they going to stack up. And I think, to be fair, probably a lot of Fighting Hawks fans were thinking, just don't get embarrassed. Don't get blown out. You know, we have this feeling of, you know, I hope someday that feeling is not that. I hope the feeling is they're the ones that should be nervous. They're the ones that should be. But you guys were spot on, and I thought, okay, yeah, they held their own. We saw the long possession in that second quarter. We saw him chew up time. We saw him get yards on the ground. And so it comes in a loss, but you thought, okay, now what do you do? What do you do from there? You know, how do you come back out of that? And then they did, and they showed us even more. So, I was watching your guys' comments on that. And I think, to me, this team, Matt, you talked about it, there's this toughness. I always wonder, you know, is there a trust between the staff and what they're preaching and the players and what they're doing? You know, is there a belief? You know you're in trouble if, say, your quarterback and your offense is talking behind the scenes going, I don't know, I don't think we should be. You know, if there's that going on. And I don't feel that here. I feel there is a connectivity to this team that what the staff is selling, they're buying, and then they're believing. And then the only thing that just solidifies that is the result on the field. When those results end in wins, that togetherness right there, to me, is the platform. And that's where I think they are right now.
That's a great point, Jack, because I was, you know, I was actually talking to my kid about this the other day. He plays at Chanley, and, yep, you know, I said, you know, he's talking about, you know, watching tape or whatever, and I'm like, well, I go, just envision calls that they're sending in. Whatever call we send in, you run it, and you just envision yourself against the other team running it. You know, you don't question, you don't even have to know why the call is called. Make that call work for that formation. When we played, Matt, I played 4 years for Bubba. He sent every call he sent in. I don't, not one time in my entire life did I ever wonder why we called that. Because number one, I don't know any better. I'm like, just call it in. All right, what is it? Like to run it, you know. Right. And then, but the checks are in place to get out of it if we have to, type of thing.
Sure.
But he sends in a call. I don't care what time, you know, if it's middle of the third quarter and he calls in stack three, we're not doing anything. We're lining up. And we're playing cover three. It's like, all right, you know, whatever. We're going back. We're going back to the simple, you know.
Let's
and
go.
We believed.
Right.
We believed in them. We believed we were going to win. We believed in the program. Whatever he sends in, we run it. It's our job to run it. You know, it's not our job to, geez, I wish we would have brought pressure on that third down. No. We didn't bring pressure. He knows why he didn't bring pressure. He knows he can bring pressure, but he didn't.
Right.
So, you know, type of thing. Don't question anything. Nobody questioned. We just rolled.
Went with it, yeah.
It is. And I certainly, you know, we all played sports, right? I didn't do it at the extent maybe that you guys did, that you guys did at the level, played college baseball and all that. But as a young person, you always feel like there's that it's like that, was it from the movie Bachelor Party? There's the devil and the angel. So the angel in this case would be your coach and what they're telling you to do. And then there's always that young devil on your shoulder that's going, don't do it. Do it your own way. You can do it. So you got to get rid of the devil and believe it. Unless the angel's telling you to run east looking for a sunset.
Right.
You know, that doesn't happen. You know, that sets in the west. But that's the believability that I think that they have with this staff. And I don't know how long we go before we start really grading out Isaac Frictes and the Trevor Olsons of this world, but I'll tell you, a few games in, and I know there's more parts to the game. We know what Kostic can do with the special teams and what Joel can do with defense and all that, but it's fun to see a team kind of, and I think, Kelly, you might have mentioned it, or Matt, after they had a first down, like third and eight, and ran the ball. A couple weeks ago, I'm like, when's the last time you run between the tackles on some type of zone read? I'm like, that's Isaac Frictes probably. And Trevor, that's a belief right there. So that excites me.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Isaac Frictes. You've interviewed a lot of offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators in your life. What are you sensing? What are you sensing from Isaac? I've gotten to know him. I've talked to him, and just a real down-to-earth guy, normal guy, no frills. Seems like he's lunch pail. I mean, what do you get when you talk to him every week? Are you sensing different, like a different mentality where you're seeing that resonate over the football field?
Yeah, it's a great question. I genuine meat and potatoes is kind of what I think of Isaac. He's a genuine meat and potatoes, you know, from a food analogy here. It's fun to have the fluff and the desserts and all this and the candy and a top with cherries and we're going to do this and got a milkshake maybe for this genuine meat and potatoes attitude of we are going to, this is what we do because we have the talent to do it. We have belief in a line to run a football. We have a belief in a young quarterback making, you know, his first collegiate starts to make the right decisions. So here's what you need to do, line. Simon, here's what the options are in this play. And whether it be, Gavin or Sawyer or Isaiah or last week Donovan Hunt, whatever that stable or running back, which is such a strong position, I think Isaac Frictes, this meat and potatoes, disciplined, this is what we're going to do, and we're not going to stray too far from it. Unless, we have to get cute, but they haven't needed to get what I call cute. And that's not a shot at anybody that's been in that spot before, because I think there are many ways to win football game. There are many ways to win baseball games, too. Many ways to win football games. And to me, Isaac is just that. And along with that, because, O-line coaches are tied into all of that part, I think Trevor is in that same line. I just like having that one line, that singular mentality of a collectiveness that, again, not that that hasn't been there before, but it just feels more aligned this year.
Yeah, it seemed that's what they, like you brought up the third and eight, but third, like Bobby Houck, the 3 × 4 = 12.
Yeah.
Army 1940s offense, that type of thing. But there's a point in every one of these games, Matt, where they went into that mode. 3 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard, 5 yards. Mm-hmm.
100%. And I get a flurry of text messages. I know you're probably the same of all the guys that you played with. And the sentiment out there is, wow, it's really nice to be able to just have confidence in our running game, to establish that early, to be able to get momentum early and just have confidence in our O-line and our quarterback and run regular power in-your-face football and run downhill the whole game and have confidence in your running backs. It's really nice to be able to see that on offense where we don't have to get cute.
Right, which was so coincidental or ironic, whatever word is proper here, because just came off the Iowa State game, and we saw the ground attack and then the success they had. And then they get Montana the next week, 3 and out, and you get the ball back. They have a good punt, so you're deeper in your own territory. What does North Dakota do? Pass the ball 3 times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is exactly. And then settled back into what you just talked about.
Yeah.
But that one, I looked at Coach Berg and I went, well, that's odd.
Hey, let's loosen them up a little bit. Yeah, catch them up.
Again, they were trying to shoot 3-pointers before they got layups. I get it. Yeah. Basketball analogy there.
Right.
But, then they settle back in. But again, he doesn't stray, back to my point, doesn't stray too far from that. And that's what's going to work, I think, in the long run.
Yeah, it's I like the flow. The one thing is the flow. I actually talked to Rick the other day in a game prep type of thing, and I said, you know, just facetiously, you know, hey, you getting tired about calling plays? I go, I think you're averaging 74 plays a game now. Right. And I go, I'm just kidding, but I'm kind of wondering. I go, does it, after a while, I mean, are you flipping the page, like, looking, or are you just stay on page one and just keep running this working? Or, right. How's that work? You know, I've never called plays in my life. And, you know, game flow, you start to run out of stuff. And he's like, no. He goes, we want to shoot for 70 to 75 a game. He goes, that was the goal before the season started. I don't know if they did that at Winona. But he goes, that's our goal, is to be right there. He goes, with the tempo and the moving the chain slowly, you know, one chain at a time. They just worked their way down the field. And so, yeah, he didn't think anything of it. I mean, 74 plays a game. I mean, it's not quite Chip Kelly, Oregon, you know, 89 a game or whatever they're running. But, yeah, I found that interesting. Hey, he doesn't, you know, no big deal, didn't think anything of it. But I think, and, well, the article. Let's dovetail into that article today, Tank. And we were talking about it. The way they're monitoring how much the players move and tying that. See, I thought it was just, hey, let's monitor how much they move just to see what they're doing. I didn't quite get it. Well, now it makes sense. They're monitoring on the field in practice, stuff like that, to where the receivers aren't running back to the huddle. The O-linemen aren't running back to the huddle. They're staying at the line. The receivers, if they can, stay on their same side of the field even.
Sure.
So all these steps are cut in half of what a normal, you know, so 74 plays, maybe isn't that big a deal, Jack?
Right. And what you're talking about there is just efficiency and what you're trying to be efficient with. And you know, in years past, how many times did you guys say, well, we got, other since maybe the Greg Harden, maybe those years and a little bit after, it was like, who's going to stretch the field? You know, who do we have that's going to stretch the field? We got to stretch the field, and this stretch the field mentality, and what that means, and as people know, you know, who's going to go deep? When are we going to drop back and fire one deep and get and score downfield and have these big explosive plays? And who's going to stretch the field? Well, I don't. After a game, say that as much anymore, and it's because of the this team's not that. They don't be nice to. You know, it'd be nice if what Justin Jefferson did and Sam Darnold found him in the throw a 55-yard pass. And
that was
nobody
good.
Got JJ on their team in this league.
Right,
know.
Yeah.
But I find myself thinking, do you really need to? You know, there's a stable of backs with an offensive line that's moving chains. It's third and three, and you got four. Okay, not sexy, but it moved the chains. Right. You know, and that to me is the key.
And I think that's where Bellquist has been good. It's third down and six. He gets us 8-9 yards.
He can carve guys up. He's not the fastest guy in the field, but he's fast. He's fast enough type of thing. But he can carve them up at the top of the route is the thing. So then he's open just like he's running a 4-3 because he can twist them, spin them into the ground, he did last
week.
You
nailed it. That to me, Bo's a lot of things, as we know. And he'll go down as one of the best ever to put on a Kelly green and white uniform, and God bless him, and to Rockin' Fitness there in New Rockford, and I hope that club goes well forever. But where do you tackle Bo? Because if you go high, you better get him down, because he's going to absorb it and shrug you off. If you go low, you better get him down, because as you just said, Kelly, he's going to twist, and that 1.5 yards short of a first down is going to turn into a first down, because you're not going to get him down. DeMontanac on some of those routes coming across had a big first down against Montana. Caden Dennis, I just hope he's upright at the end of the year, because that guy, they ask him to drive into intersection.
I think I mentioned that. Yeah. Remember the South Dakota State hit? Was that in the pandemic? Or was that in?
Was that
the pandemic? I can't even remember.
Spring?
2022, maybe 2021, something like that. But the kid got kicked out of the game.
Right.
And, I mean, he got up, and I think he was playing couple weeks later. They might have held him out, but kid keeps coming back. And he keeps coming back across the middle.
Right. So either he's a glutton for that, or he's just bought in like everybody else. So good for you, Caden Dennis. And we haven't even got that. They utilize a little bit. We're seeing some tight end usage. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's all that. And I don't know. I think this bird coming in, you know, having not faced San Diego, having a team that held Cal Poly must have changed their offenses over the years.
I think they're
not. Bo Baldwin came in.
Yeah.
They thought he was going to bring Eastern Washington to Cal Poly. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. Well, you got to get the kids into school.
The academic requirements between difference between Eastern Washington and Cal Poly could not be understated.
Yeah, a little higher level.
You know, he wasn't going to get those same kids into school and stuff, and it never took off.
So San Diego holds Cal Poly to 8 yards rushing, right? Because it's a different system, now you got a D2, and granted, a good D2 in Central Washington, but. You know, they run for like $170 or $180 on San Diego. So as I'm looking at this game, guys, I'm thinking, okay, it seems like a balanced attack. You know, everybody's like 28 years old for San Diego. It seems like everybody's like a graduate student and USC transfers and all this stuff. So I love it because it's a different bird, and it doesn't allow, as Matt, you talked about, it doesn't. This team, whether these guys are naive or just playing game by game, which we all want to do, that's a great place to be to have a UND football team, because it doesn't take as much time to sell the fact that you can get beat. So you staple that in, and we're facing a team that's got a little more balanced attack, that's got veterans quarterback, they've got veterans all over the board. Their middle linebacker, obviously, is a tremendous ball player. And I think he was the player of the week and after week one, after that winning it. They've got 3 pick sixes on the year, so I don't know how.
One of them by their nose guard.
Yeah, 75.
Right.
If you got 75 on one end, something happened.
Nose guard's dream there.
So I don't know. I mean, judging by the yards they gained up, they gave up on the ground against Central Washington, I would like to think that North Dakota comes out and hammer, control tempo and have it get out to a good start and have a lead. But it's another frightening team coming in that
I don't know anything about.
We've seen
what happens when those teams come in. It's like, Abilene Christian a couple of years ago, they were good, though.
Yeah.
But that team was good. But we knew they were kind of good, but we didn't know how good. Oh, my God. What would we end up winning by 3, I think?
You get a wake-up call.
Whoa, boy. It's like, all right, you can't just look past a random non-conference game.
Well, we talked about a few weeks ago that we may have a letdown game. We may have a slouch game here coming up here at home. And, you know, I hope we don't, but typically we do. And I don't know if this is a game we want that, because it's completely unknown. We're Murray State next week. A little bit more about them. You know, they're in our conference, and it's a conference game. Easy to get up for a conference game. But, boy, if we can avoid that letdown game here for our home series, I think we're sitting in
good shape. Continue to make the Alaris one of the toughest places to play in the FCS. I think we'd all agree that probably Washington Grizzly Stadium is extremely tough to go into in Missoula. Even Bobcat Stadium by days in the Big Sky into Bozeman and some of these places. Obviously, the Fargo Dome is not fun for anybody because of the bells and whistles, and you really got to get that out early when you play in Fargo. But I'll put the Alara Center in a short list at the top as one of the toughest places to play in the FCS. And the only way it becomes tough, because even that Montana game, I was on the broadcast thinking, did the crowd just – I know we get quiet on offense. They're getting kind of that quiet. I'm thinking, where's the noise here? And then it came back, and I'm like, okay, but that is such a tough – so I don't know how San Diego simulates that. You know, in this environment, I don't know if that is worth 3 points or 5 or 7. I don't know.
There's five false starts last week, I think. And some of those, it wasn't even that loud.
And Idaho State
early
came
in the game,
not being penalized that much.
Yeah.
And then it just got into a penalty fest.
Yeah. And we didn't, I think. What do we have, 1?
Yeah.
And they got 12. They had a bunch of them. And it was interesting. I expected a little more. But in hindsight, you know, looking back at Idaho State, that offense is one we do well against because they don't have a tight end.
Yeah, you run 10
personnel. We struggle with tight ends when they keep them in and they max protect, and we want to bring pressure. So whenever – it's kind of a weird deal. Excuse me. Whenever
–
excuse me. Whenever UND sees a tight end, they want to bring pressure. But then the other team knows that, and they keep the tight end in, so they're blocking with 6 or 7. We don't get there. Now we're one-on-one down the field, and that's what Northern Arizona would do to us. They'd slide protect with a tight end. Well, Idaho State, when they come in 15 and 18, that's the offense they ran. They kept a tight end in, and we couldn't get there. They felt their receivers were better than our DBs, and they beat us down the field.
I'm curious what you guys thought, and Hank certainly too, because it's not like you make Idaho State one-dimensional. They've got pretty much that dimension coming. That's their dimension. They're going to air raid this thing out.
Yep.
As you talk about, Kelly, they go on a quarterback change, and they bring Hunter Hayes in. And here's a 6'4", lanky dude that, you know, Tracy goes out and Hayes comes in. All of a sudden, Hunter Hayes looks like the second coming of this big old lanky, scrambling, some maybe even design quarterback Rons, who also had some feathery touches on some passes. And then I'm thinking, wow, I wonder if this guy, what would have been the story the full game with that? And why is North Dakota, are we in that, have we taken the foot off a little bit here because of the big lead, or was there nothing to make about it? What were you guys thinking?
I think it was a combination of the both where, you know, they changed things up on offense, obviously, with the quarterback change and just strategically in the locker room, they make adjustments just like we do.
Right.
But also, I think we took our foot off the gas, as you said. Yeah. You know, we do have that to learn from last week where once we get a commanding lead like that, we don't take our foot off the gas. We finish the game, same intensity, it's still 0-0. So that's a lesson learned, I think, from last week that we need to incorporate here in the near future.
It was 38-0 too, so we got to understand that the human nature, you know, out there is safeties, corners, all right, you know, we're just kind of hanging, you know, we're not quite as urgent to jump that route type of thing, and it's just different, you know. It's so, but the thing coming in, I knew Hayes was their runner. I did a little running. And he, so they'd bring him in wildcat, whatever you want to call it, packages and run him. That's what messed us up, I think, is when they started, he started running right away. And then all of a sudden, I think the linebackers got off a little bit. Okay, now we're doing the bracket coverage all game with linebackers. Well, geez, now he's running, you know, and just scramble mode in your head. You're kind of, oh, no, the game plan's out the window now. Well, then now he starts hitting some passes to his credit. He threw the ball pretty well.
He did have a nice
now
play.
They got both things going
and
on.
And I'm wondering if San Diego then is looking at that film. Okay, and here come the Toreros and Coach Moore is sitting down there in that beautiful city, San Diego. And they're whales. The so he's sitting down there and I'm
it's thinking, a podcast, say whatever you want.
Invented by the Germans. Anyway, so if he's sitting down there thinking, okay. Well, look at this. Look at the tale of two halves right here. And is that something that, you know, do the Toreros think, okay, maybe we can utilize this and maybe, you know, Sergeant who went more aerial assault in their win, their last win, and do they do that or do we see? I don't know. I'm curious to see what the game plan is coming up this week. I do know the defense. And whether it be the Valley City State transfer and Gerhardt getting the quarterback, Lance Rucker. Well, Josh Navratil has been playing so good right now. I mean, he is just, I'm knocking on wood every time he goes. He's got his hand in the mix. This defense is, you know, we've been talking a lot about the offense here, but defensively, what Rucker has shown right now, and he was so good, I gave him the interception. I couldn't see when Henry picked that pass off and where I'm angled at, all I'm seeing is a two. It's either 2-3 or 2-7.
Okay.
And you know when you're in the middle of a call. And a penny to midfield, out of the 40, 35, 30. And you just want to say, can somebody tell me if that's Henry or not?
Yeah.
And I took a shot. And Maury Wills, my old broadcast partner for baseball, the legendary, he used to tell me, Jack, when anybody asks you a baseball question, just answer it Willie Mays, and you'll be right 7 out of 10 times.
Right.
So I thought, Rucker's been making so many plays, and I knew it was on this side of the field. And I'm thinking, I just chose Rucker. I'm like, sorry, Devin. But
did they move you guys up this year? Out of a booth?
We're still in that far right side in the upper room there. It's a decent...
You're still in a little... Are you in a little booth?
Not in a booth, though. We're open. But
up top, another little... The third level?
Yes, third level.
Yeah, because back in the... When I was dabbling in the suite, you had that little booth, right?
Right by
the suite. If I'm
at Druthers, it'd be more of that level, but I'm not complaining. I love it.
Is it okay up there?
It's a comfortable area, yeah. And we put a little lamp up there, and there are lookers up there. It's a good place.
I do remember the first time Ed Schultz walked in there and saw the broadcast booth was at the 20-yard line. That was quite the discussion, so I'm glad they moved that.
Now, unfortunately, I'm sorry, my man Braden coming in to call the game for San Diego. He's going to be on the 20, which, if you're a radio broadcast, if you're doing your job well enough, you should be able to see it.
Right.
One thing, Jack, let's talk about the radio broadcast a little bit, because I think the fans have loved it. You've added some nicknames to the broadcast. Do you put a lot of thought into that, or how does that come up over the years?
They usually spurt out as it's happening and then going, that might stick.
Right.
You know, usually it comes out as you're watching the game and you get a feel. And you guys know this. You get a feel for that. So, I mean, you know, the Simon Says and all that, it's an easy go-to. But it's all done, to me, it's just coming from my heart. You know, it's just a genuine thing. I don't know where the book of Isaiah, you know, I'm brought up in a faith-based family, so yeah. I started saying when he got in the clear, you know, the book of Isaiah is open, you know, and I don't know for those, I don't care what your denomination is, it just works for me, and I love to see that, and the wrecker now, Lance Rucker's become the wrecker, and over the years, the Bo just ripped that right off from Nike probably, you know, Bo knows this, you can fill it up, and I, throughout the course of the year, I spend time in the summer calling ball in Winnipeg, and now that Brady Oliveira plays for the Blue Bombers, you know, the Manitoba Moose, to a point where people in southern Manitoba were making these hats, like the Moose is loose and the Manitoba Moose. And I'm like,
awesome.
I had no idea until Brady showed me that. So it really is fun to have a player do something that generates a broadcaster from its heart and soul. To bring that nickname out, to attach that—I don't know—it's fun to do. That says something about that player.
So you're not sitting in front of a mirror for hours every day. Yelling them out and then sensing whether it would work or not, Jack.
No. And I even tell young broadcasters, don't. You can write down some things so you make it sound like you know what you're doing, but you can't write down moments because you don't know when the moments are going to happen. So
hey, let's. Before we let you go, Jack, let's talk Simon Rumphel.
Yeah.
We haven't really discussed it. What are your thoughts so far? I mean, it's, you know, we've seen he's so wide-ranging with what he can do and 5'10", 5'11", kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all guts, heart, passion. You know, he's out there doing, he's making plays. Is that, I mean, does it just got to be the whole package every game for him to get it done? Because last week when he skipped those couple passes, I'm like, oh boy!
Yeah,
I'm like, did he just bounce that RPO to Bo, and then
a couple
that,
of them, right?
Yeah, the screen pass he bounced right next to him. Yeah. It's like, you know, it kind of throws you off, and then you look at the end of the game, he had 287 yards, and so it's right. Like, I mean, are we seeing an evolution here where we just got to keep watching, just stay with it, and it's going to come together.
It's a great assessment, Kelly. I think that's exactly what we're seeing. And if you have children, I think not saying Simon's a child, but you watch your children develop and decision make over the year, over their lifespan, and a college football span is, you know, 4 or 5, whatever, 6 years. And I think what we're seeing with Simon, he threw back late over the middle in Ames. Route jumped last week against Idaho State, maybe read him, knew the play, jumped it, pick. A couple of short tosses, trying to get that out. You know, so we're seeing this, and as long as I judge Simon, number one thing, does he have the trust of his locker room and his teammates? And that, to me, without question, is yes. I think the guys love to play for him. Number two, does a quarterback inspire? You know, he's in a position that is a position that could inspire, that leads to leadership and leads to this and that and doing. And I think that is up there, too. I think he does. I think he does inspire. I think guys want to play for him. I think that he seems verbal enough that they're with him. So all that. Then comes the actual decisions he makes during the course of a game and the plays he makes. Does he move this offense? Does he get them in and out of huddle? Is he verbal? Does everybody know the page they're on? And so all of that. And then when that kid tucks, when he bolts, that's when daddy gets really excited because this guy, I don't want him to have to bolt all the time because I think we want Simon to be there for many years to come. But I like when he bolts, and that's part of his game plan. He's got that in his arsenal. So to you, I think sharper, cleaning up some of those passes, which probably is going to come. He's going to have probably a little bit more command. I think the decision-making, the defense reading, and all of that will continue to grow. And by the time conference season comes, you hope that the mistakes that are made, and everybody's going to make them, just aren't catastrophic. You know, just stay away from catastrophic. You can live with some of the cuts, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the gashes, you can't. And there have been a couple, maybe one. But, you know, that's the process, I think, of that maturation. So I think you nailed it. I'm excited for him. I believe in him. I'm sure you guys do, too, when you watch the game. You have a belief that's growing in him, and knowing that room, too, is a pretty good room for North Dakota, that quarterback room. Got a good, strong stable of a backfield. Got an offensive line that's getting it done. You got talent on the perimeter. I think everything is in place for this kid to grow right. and to build this team. So I'm thumbs up on Simon. I was like you. I didn't know. I didn't know who I was going to be calling at quarterback this year. I didn't know one was going to go, and Trubisky didn't come in, and all of a sudden Simon's the guy.
Well, like I said, his scrambling is – it has to happen. Yeah. Like it's not, I don't think it's optional. Last week we got away with it just because it was a team effort. It was three phases. Everything went well. But we're going to get in some tight games where Simon needs to scramble on a pass play. You know, I've seen they've put in more design runs now for him where he follows the running back up the hole. That's good
Love
stuff.
That, by the way,
yeah,
too.
Good stuff.
And
he needs to screw up the defense.
Yeah.
On one, like I think I tweeted out, from here on out, it should be 1-2, nothing there, I'm gone.
Right.
You know, I mean, boom, boom, not see it, gone, find the nearest.
That's what he did. Make the defense have to be concerned about him.
Yep. Right.
Someone's got to be concerned about
it. It's a pass play, but we can't drop too deep or else he's going to take off, and he needs to always be looking for that. And he seemed last week he didn't have to. To his credit, he threw for 287, hung in there. But you know what's coming up. NDSU, SDSU, they're going to start getting through there. There's going to be leaks.
I'll tell you one thing, and I know we're probably have used up more of your time. Thanks for calling.
We have unlimited time, Jack.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a podcast. Don't worry about it.
Here's one thing.
Do what we want.
Here's one thing that told me everything I need to know about Simon Rumpo. So, Montana game, Buxa loses helmet. All right, so your center's off for a play. You got a new one coming in. First play, it snapped on the ground. Now, you're on the ground in a big key game. That ball's on the floor. Yeah, you're at home, but that sense of, unless you've been a quarterback in that position, and, if it's me, I'm running to a phone booth and calling mom.
Right.
If it's Simon Rumpo, I'm nervous. Take me home. Get me out of here. If it's Simon Rumpo, you don't panic. You don't kick it, fumble it, boot it, even fall on it, which sometimes could be a good thing to do. You don't want to give up position. He stays poised, scoops it, and then body going forward. And then juke and jive, absorb some contact at the four, and plow your way to the end zone. That's all I needed to see.
Yeah, he reached his left hand out, if you remember. It was about 2 yards to his left.
Yeah.
He reached out, knocked it down, then went and grabbed it.
Crawled it.
And, I mean, just like you could tell he's played other sports before. I mean, kind of knocks it down, grabs it, turns around, IDs the hole. Z-Barth heads up. It must have been a run play because Z-Barth instinctively just took off running as a lead blocker. Then he makes that safety miss. Like you said, that juke you mentioned. I mean, that kid almost, his knee, I don't know if his knee's okay.
It's all I needed to see. All I needed to see.
So 19-yard touchdown.
All right, that's in his DNA. Good. Yeah. Great to know that.
Yep, that's what we need to see more of. So, no, it's been fun, Jack. I appreciate you coming on here. This is, you're always in studio.
Yeah.
So, pretty much an open invite, Tank.
It literally is. You know, there are a lot of shows that precursor the football game for their teams, and this is as good as there is. Like I said, it's part of my ritual watch to make sure that I'm covering things that I need to cover because I know you guys are all over the game. So it's great.
Well, I don't see any snacks in here. You didn't bring any treats for us today.
I brought Coffee Crisp back from Manitoba.
Oh. what does a football broadcast entail? Like a couple bags of Kit Kats, or what are we doing these days?
Before they cleaned out our upper room up there, I had Funyuns from 2012 that were up there.
They're probably still good.
Right. Yeah. I have 13-year-old Funyuns up there. But we've gone with Oreos. Tom Dosh's wife, Tina, makes little football muffins sometimes. So that comes up. So if you want to come up, I'll tell you, if I'm going to drop some things, that Senex off of Demers there, I single-handedly kept that store in business.
Off the interstate.
Right, you come out there.
Off. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean, sometimes the bathroom's not open. It's just everything's being used. But that's my one. Go in there to pee-pee. Can I say pee-pee? Oh, it's a podcast.
Yeah, we can say it. Say what you want.
That's my Saturday morning. Boom, store stop, Bathroom, okay, maybe not here. Boom, snack, snack, snack. Funyuns, there it is. Bring it up. Feed the troops. You know, feed the people upstairs. Keep the got a happy broadcast team. You got a happy broadcast. Right. You know, that's it. And food tends to do that. I'm waiting for Kelly to make like a crock pot of beef or something.
As we were talking, Kelly, someone's got to feed the broadcasters at the Alaris, right?
Wow, Jesus. press box needs might need to amp it up a little bit, Jack. We don't need to rip on people, but I've been. You know, I was when I did radio and TV or whatever. I'd swing up there to get our chart, you know, the sheets
and
stuff.
Right, you're too deep.
And, you know, what was it? Pretzels, popcorn, and Chex Mix. I mean, I like the Mellow Yellow. Because of the Mellow Yellow, I'm a Mellow Yellow guy. That was down there, so I'd always grab one or two at least. But we're looking for a little more. You know, I mean, you get hungry by halftime.
I don't know how many years I have in me. Hopefully 20 more. I'd love it. Knock on wood. But my goal someday is just to bring in a tray in with a giant turkey and some stuffing and with a thing, just walk past that goes, fist pound the cheer team, you know, good luck in your herkies today, girls. All right, see you, Jack. And wheel that baby up to the third row and just open that up and let's carve. That's my goal.
There we go. Got to keep them happy. Well, Jax, thanks so much. Open invitation anytime you want to swing in. And 1 o'clock kickoff, so I'm guessing, noon pregame all across the network?
12 noon. Enjoy it. We'll see if more nicknames come out. Bottom line is, let's leave by 4 o'clock with another W in the column, and maybe we can join here again next week and talk about Murray State and get ready for them.
100%.
Looking forward to it. That segment, our guest segment, brought to you by Development Homes, our 360 weekly guest, Jack Michaels, the Jack Michaels Show on 740 The Fan, also sports director at KFGO and the voice of Fighting Hawks football. Well, it's time now to look ahead as UND hosts San Diego Saturday, 1 o'clock kickoff at the Alaris Center. This is the Toasted Frog 360 game preview. Well, San Diego... just nothing to get excited about these non-scholarship teams, the old Patriot League, right?
Well, back in the day, you know, 10 years ago, whatever, they were the class of the Pioneer, and they were in the playoffs every year. And then they beat, they beat Pauly the one year in the playoffs, which made the Big Sky look really bad. And so San Diego's had their moments where this is a proud program. Dale Lindsay, the old guy, the coach, I think he was 76 when he retired 2 years ago. He led the program forever. Great coach. They did what they could. You know, I mean, non-scholarship, but they're also giving you, you know, all of a sudden your tuition isn't as cost as much.
You get to live in San Diego where the weather is perfect every day.
San Diego.
Right? Yeah.
So, we can't view them as a Pioneer League team technically because they are a proud Pioneer. They are used to winning. They win games.
And they have weapons, too. I mean, they're able to score points.
They look good. So, when you look at San Diego, you break it down, pick fifth in the Pioneer. They're usually picked top three. I think it was based off last year's losing record that they had. That's just why they're picked fifth. They're a good-looking team. They already beat Cal Poly. They beat Central Washington 26-7 2 weeks ago. They had last week off. Central Washington's number 10 in the country in D2. And UND used to play Central Washington back in the day, so we remember. You know, they're a good program up there all by themselves. I mean, I think they're the only one left up there in that part of the country.
Played in the Rodeo Bowl back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Central Washington.
Yeah.
Flew into Yakima.
Ellsworth.
Yeah.
But, this is not a gimme by any means. I mean, there's a lot worse Pioneer League teams we could play than San Diego. So, 2-0 coming in. Both wins were... fairly consistent, methodical wins. My upfront take on these guys, steady, solid, not flashy. Quarterback's not flashy. Graduate student, again, one of their 24-year-olds that they got on the team. They got a lot of them, right? But what they're going to do is just be sound and just try to beat you with sound schemes. If you outman them, if you match the scheme and outman them, they're going to lose. It's just that simple. I mean, they don't do anything over the top. Like Idaho State, hey, geez, if they get that going, if they get that run and shoot going, boy, we're in trouble type of a thing. It's not that. It's a ball control. And their coach, Brandon Moore, in his second year, he took Colorado Mines, I think, to the national championship 3 years ago. So he played for the 49ers for 6 years, linebacker. So it, what I see is a defensive mentality is what I'm seeing out of this team.
And defense could look familiar to us this week.
Better.
It should. We've been playing against it for the last 25, 30 years. Is going to be in a 3-4, so that's their base defense. So it's going to be familiar to us. Of course, they're going to do some different things, different wrinkles. But, boy, how many – this what, the fourth week in a row we've seen a three-man front. So so it should be nothing surprising about having three down linemen in front of you.
This week will be a little different only because they'll play a 3-4.
Instead of a 3-3.
There'll be five on the line.
Right.
You know, the two outside backers. So if we bring in our Jaden Norbys, Mathan Souths, you know, our fullbacks and tight ends, well, then they're going to do what we do and load it up, right? They'll have five on the line, and then it'll be a true 3-4 look. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be good for these good for the guys up front. There'll be a lot of communication because there's going to be guys. There's going to be seven in the box when we have a fullback or a tight end in the game at all. There will be seven in the box, just like a true 3-4 does.
Well, I saw, too, that when they bring pressure, they have those three down linemen. Then they have three linebackers right in between them. Yep. And then they will randomly pull a guy and do a stunt with them out from one of those three linebackers, depending on where they want the pressure from. And then the other two will drop back into coverage. So when we're in third and long, hopefully not too often. But
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Okay.
Not once. No, it'll be okay this week.
But, yeah, look for that in this coming game because they'll bring those linebackers right up to the line of scrimmage in between the tackles. So, and then they'll drop back or, you know, try
make
to
you do account for them.
Make you account for them and then throw off the blocking
so
scheme.
Where do you see us having success in the running game? What part of the field?
Inside zone.
Inside zone.
You got to run. Sure. You got to run inside zone. I don't see
which we're pretty good at this year.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm seeing I don't see an outside zone game as much with this one just because, well, it'll be a feel. But initially, what you're going to see is a straight-ahead game out of UND. I don't think you're going to see a man-free look. They man up on the corners, which is good. We like that because we want to run the ball. That's two guys out of run support now, which, fine, great. You want to man up at corners, that's great. I don't ever buy into that against a running team. I don't know why you do that because you lose two guys in run support now. And so, but the free safeties, the run support. I'm not as much RPO this week. I'm seeing a downfield passing game. I'm seeing one-on-one routes. I'm seeing, you know, it's just because that's what's going to be there. And what do teams do against UND? They took plenty of shots over the years downfield because they know we're four DBs, four receivers, whatever. It's just kind of one-on-one in a way. You know, it could be zone, but it's still zone turns into man after 1 second.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just the way it works. But yeah, it's interesting. San Diego has three defensive touchdowns this year already.
Oh boy.
That's a team that likes to make plays. And you gotta respect that.
And one by the nose guard with a pick six. Yeah. So I mean, that shows you how athletic and dynamic they are on defense.
I'd like to see that touchdown dance, wouldn't you guys?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Big
boy. Is this a team we'll get to the quarterback?
I don't see a ton of pressure out of them. I see them trying, maybe.
Or for us. Will we get to the quarterback?
Will we get to the quarterback? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That Sac City line will be busy on Saturday, hopefully.
Yeah. We're going to be. Yeah.
And especially because they don't know what's coming with the Alaris.
Yeah.
I look back at their schedule the last few years. They haven't played in an indoor stadium like the Alaris in quite some time. So there's no recent memory for them. Anytime soon. So
Grant Sargent, their quarterback, graduate student, he's been in the program since 2019, and he hasn't played much at all. That tells me he was never the guy. Okay, he's finally the guy. I don't mean to be mean, but I mean, now he's finally the guy. It's like, okay, well, you know, so I'm not expecting he doesn't run. He doesn't run at all. So we don't have to worry about that this week. There's no
Matt,
QB
you'd be
runs.
Licking your chops in the game planning this week if you were still playing. Yeah. Right.
I'm saying drop back.
Well, and once the wheels come off the wagon for some of these offenses, too, it's if you get five sacks, you might get 15, too.
Yeah.
So we've been part of those games. So.
And the strip sack has been nice, too.
Yeah. Lance Rucker, strip sack. That was
our outside backers have been playing amazing this year so far.
What was the best part?
They really have.
He reached over with his, well, it would have been left. No, was it right hand? He reached over, turned the corner, reached over, knocked it out of, poked it out of his hands eloquently, just bink, knocks it out, hits the ground, bounces up once, and he gets it.
Yeah.
So he gets the sack, the forced fumble, and the fumble recovery all in one play within a matter of 2 seconds. I mean, my God. You know, I mean, that's like,
that's a dream, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You do dream. That's
you,
linebacker,
you lie in
you
bed
dream,
the night before the game dreaming about
sure.
plays like
yeah, you
that.
Do.
So, but yeah, this, I mean, their offense, you know, they're clicking 30% on third down. They're struggling a little there. It's a ball control offense. It's a play to the defense. You know, if our defense is playing good, we're not going to do much on offense type of thing. They keep it safe, but they got good receivers. Geez, where the kid? What one kid? Boy, I got to pull it up. I didn't have it in front of me. 6'2", 230. The one receiver, he's a big, where are we doing here? Where'd our guy go here? Oh, boy, I'm live on the air, and I didn't. Jasim Reed, number 89. Watch out for Jasim Reed, number 89. Good-looking kid on film, and mm-hmm. he's going to be an issue because what they'll do in an offense like this, they're controlled, and they're all playing together. They're not taking any chances, but they know who their playmakers are. So yeah. You see them take shots to number 89. They're going to go for him.
Well, this seems like an easy game plan for our defense. The 12th man, get up on first, second, third, and fourth downs. We're going to need you, and let's take San Diego out of their game plan with the crowd. You can do it on Saturday. Awesome. 1 o'clock kickoff, the Alaris Center, should be a fun one. 12 o'clock pregame on the Fighting Hawks Football Radio Network. Jack Michaels, our guest today, he'll have the call along with Mike Berg, Paul Ralston, the whole crew. Thanks again to Jack for joining us today and for KFGO for allowing us to use their studios to bring you this podcast, to Rumor Sports Bar, Grill and Casino, Development Homes, Inc., Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance, The Toasted Frog, 1883 Collective, Interstate Industrial, and American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. We all appreciate your sponsorship.
Tank, I want to add, we are working on T-shirts through Tank's company, promotional products. We're going to have can koozies we're working on here. I know we're late to the game, but Tank's expediting it for us. He's getting after it behind
the scenes.
We'll
take care of it. We'll make sure your beer is cold for that next tailgate.
Yeah. So we got koozie. We're going to get some T-shirts. Maybe we got to figure out how to distribute them and stuff, but we're gonna have fun with it.
Airdrop. Off the drone over the tailgate section. Yeah.
Yeah. The drone.
Like,
don't drone.
You like
drops
the old turkey giveaway on WKRP. So.
Swear to God, right? They could fly.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week and make sure you check out the 360 Twitter page for any updates. Go to 360, was it UNDfootball360.com?
Correct.
And the Twitter pages will be updating all of our podcasts. Or you can go to Spotify and just subscribe. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.